Hello, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you. And in all seriousness, you know, Joe is a very shy and retiring sort of guy. After being chairman, he'll go back into his shell and we'll have to draw him out. But the truth is, we owe him a great deal of thanks. What more could you ask for than the record of the Democratic Party during his tenure as chairman? Thank you very much, Joe, for a job very well done, my friend. And I want to thank the Brown County Dems for hosting this convention. And, of course, the additional challenge of having the President of the United States visit the day before. You really performed very well under these circumstances, and I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank everybody here again for all the help you've given me in every one of my elections. And the last one, of course, was in 04. But I particularly want to thank you for everything you did in 2006 and 2008. You know, you absolutely did it. You changed this country, you and everybody that worked on these elections. I'll tell you, there is a huge difference. There is a huge difference in this country because of what you did. There's a difference in D.C., there's a difference here in Wisconsin, and there's a difference all across America. I felt the difference the other day when I got to host in my meeting with Sotomayor, the next United States Supreme Court Justice. Judge Sotomayor, a wonderful person, an incredible record, and as I said to her, she told me about her physical regimen, her exercising that she's always done over the years. I said, that's important, because we want people like you to live a very, very long time as justices of the United States Supreme Court. So you did that. You made it possible for this great president with his tremendous understanding of the law to appoint somebody like Judge Sotomayor. You also made it possible for an amazing person to give one of the greatest speeches I've ever seen in my life in Cairo. The President of the United States gave such a beautiful, important speech. You did it. The fact is, there's nobody in the world who would be better to give that speech than Barack Obama. It is almost a miracle to have somebody with that background, that ability, that sensitivity to all the different parties that are involved in these issues. To me, it was a wonderful moment. And I know there are great difficulties connected with it, but I think we're all privileged to have watched the President give that historic speech, and all I can say is you helped make it happen. You also did it when it came to starting real reform of the abuses by these credit card companies. We finally passed legislation to crack down on the abuses and the abuse that they have given to the students in this country as well as to the adults. Health insurance for kids. We immediately were able to pass the CHIP program. We couldn't get it through last year, and with the help of an ailing Senator Kennedy and President Obama, we have significant new dollars coming for health insurance for kids in our country. And after hundreds of listening sessions where people said, when are you going to get more money in for Title I funding for our schools and for special education? You did it. We did it in the stimulus package with real money for every school district in this state is coming finally after many years of cuts and disappointment. And even when we have the responsibility to disagree with this administration, it's a whole different game, especially when it comes to the rule of law. This is an administration that said right away that they will close Guantanamo and that torture is illegal. And I think we need to do more. I think we need to do more. I sent a clear message to the president that I don't think he should be interested in something called prolonged detention. I think it's a bad idea. I also think he should make sure there's accountability for the lawyers that created this torture program. They knew better. They got good grades in law school. So that's something the president should do. But you see, there's the difference. They'll talk to us about it. They'll engage with us on it. They'll give us good faith comments on it. If I hold a hearing, they'll actually send witnesses. It sounds like the real thing. It sounds like the system our founders believed in. It sounds like checks and balances. It's working again because of what you did. But your hard work will make a difference in an area that is even more central to the day-to-day concerns of everybody in this state and everybody in this country. And that is the issue most discussed at my listening sessions over 17 years, the desire for health care for every single American. I have never had any doubt that a single-payer system would be far superior to our current system, and I believe the federal government should pass legislation to guarantee that every single American has health care. Not just access, guarantee health care for every single American. Now, not everybody agrees with that, and not every Democrat, but this president has helped us with two commitments that he has made. The first commitment is he wants this done now. He didn't kick it down the street. He wants it done this summer. That is leadership. And his second commitment, which wasn't easy, is he has publicly endorsed and come to Green Bay and said there should be a public option, a public system to counter the system that has caused harm for so long. I don't know about you, but I am so sick of the stories of good people being demolished by this system. I am saddened by them. I hear them at the town meetings. I hear them throughout my friendships and family life. So many of the things about this system are so troubling. The idea if somebody gets terribly ill and has to make some tough choices, that instead of being able to think with their family about their kids and how to take care of their loved ones, they have to worry about, gee, I wonder what percentage of this surgery is going to be covered by insurance and what part isn't. We have to remove this kind of anxiety from the American people. We have to take away this pain and let people have the opportunity to deal with these tough healthcare situations in a reasonable manner. So the question is not what the Republicans will tell you. The question is, they'll say, do you want government-controlled health care? The question is, do you want more of the insurance-dominated system that we have right now? And the answer is no. So keep the pressure on. You may not hear everything you want to hear every day on this issue from Washington, even from Democrats, but the pressure is working. This public option would be nowhere if you had not asserted the pressure that I've seen you exert in the last 3 weeks that you've done this. And as we do it, our state and states like ours that provide high-quality health care for low cost should not be penalized under the formulas. We should be treated fairly as a state that has always done that and get fair reimbursement. I'm tired of Wisconsin getting ripped off on these formulas. And as important as the health care issue is, we also have to remember the priorities that are particular to our state. I am so proud of the role we all play. All of you, all the members of the legislature, Governor Doyle, all the members of the delegation, in saving and protecting senior care, the best prescription drug program in the United States of America. I'm so proud of the legislature and the governor and everybody in all the states in this region that we finally passed a Great Lakes Compact to make sure that our water will not be taken out of the Midwest. I am proud to have worked with you and played a major role in making sure that there are new clinics for our veterans in places like Hayward and Rice Lake and soon right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But of all the issues for Wisconsin, the most important issue that we have to focus on right here in particular is jobs, is protecting our employment here in this state. And that means that our president and this administration needs to follow through on its promise to do something differently when it comes to these unfair trade agreements that have hurt Wisconsin and hurt our country. We will propose creative alternatives for those unfortunate situations where we lose jobs. I proposed a bill that would provide dollars from the federal government for coalitions that want to help retrain people in the healthcare professions, because that is an area where many people will be able to have jobs in the future. But the most important thing is to not give up the jobs that we have right now or the jobs that are on the line. And I think of towns like Janesville and Kenosha. My hometown of Janesville, the home of General Motors for generations, is one of three places being considered for a new GM car. And we had a meeting the other day with the GM officials, and they admitted that the very best workforce of all, the best credentials, the best workers, the best community, was the Janesville option. That is what should be chosen. That's what they should do. And the same thing goes when I call Mr. Ratner, the head of the president's task force, about Kenosha. We had a good conversation. He admitted that those engines could be built in Kenosha or in Mexico. And he said it's a business decision. Well, I think it's good business when the taxpayers are paying for the company to make those engines in Kenosha and in the United States of America. That's the way it should be. Now, I would love the opportunity to continue this work for you. I am up for re-election next year. I have never had an easy ride. I got a guy running against me out of Jefferson County. He's a big guy, but he says, he's David and I'm Goliath. I got to tell you, Joe teases me when I say I'm 5'9". He thinks I'm short. I have never been called Goliath in my entire life. But he's taken it a step further. Today he put out a statement indicating that people like Russ Feingold like nothing more than to see America humbled. This is the kind of language that these guys like to use. This is the kind of garbage that is involved in these kinds of elections, where when they can't win on the merits and they can't prove that you haven't done a good job, they start throwing this stuff around. Well, we showed them in 2006 and 2008 that we reject that kind of rhetoric and we reject that kind of campaign. But I'm going to need your help. And I just want to remind you, because I saw all of you, you know I was everywhere the last 2 years. And I wasn't campaigning for me. I had the thrill of helping to reelect Steve Hilgenberg and Kim Hixon and Phil Garthwaite to get new members of the Assembly like Penny Bernard Shaver, to return former legislators to the state Senate like Jim Holper. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed every minute of it, but now I need your help. I need your help in my campaign. I need you to put a Feingold 10 bumper sticker on your car. I need you to go to russfeingold.org. I need you to go to FineTunes, if you know what that is. Have a house party. Help us start the canvassing we're going to do. And also, eat a sloppy Joe tonight. Thank you very much.